want to thank you for giving us the ability to hear in the Spirit, to see in the Spirit, to move in the Spirit, to be in the Spirit. Father, we pray that this morning that even those things that we are saying in praise and worship unto you will become a reality in our soul, become a reality in the midst of our circumstances, become a reality in the midst of the place that we are sojourning in. And that it will not be something of a theological conjecture, but it'll be a way and a demonstration of life. It will be a way and a demonstration of light in the midst of darkness. And Father, that it might even illuminate those who are around us and who desire to have the release, the freedom, to be set free from that position of bondage, that position of death and hell. Lord, we pray that that reality would become our reality. Oh, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, say amen. You're getting better. Praise the Lord. I have a burden to kind of finish up what I started last night. I woke up this morning feeling the Spirit of the Lord talking to me. And for those of you who have not been here, it might seem a little strange to you, some of the things that we are going to say, because you are kind of jumping in at the end and you have really missed the beginning. So I encourage you, I believe they have them on tape. I do, yes. I would really encourage you to get the tapes, to listen to them, to pray about them, and to pray about them and to ask God to speak to you concerning them. And for those of you who have been coming, I suggest you get the tapes and you go over them. Because as far as the Word of God is concerned and we are concerned, we're supposed to be like the cow that chews, swallows, brings it back up, chews on it again, swallows it again, and does it a number of times before it gets every last little thing out of it that can possibly be gotten out of it. So I am encouraging you not to let the Word of God slip through your fingers and to slip out of your soul and you fall back in to a rut if you are in a rut. And I think most of us are in a rut. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God has the power to deliver you. Hallelujah. Yesterday, we were dealing quite a bit with darkness. Is that the best place for that, I suppose? Okay. I don't know. I'm just wondering. I'm just asking. Can everybody see that? I recommend that you get a new board. Hallelujah. This one is pretty pathetic. Oh, my. I said pathetic, I didn't say prophetic. Hallelujah. I'm going to get a little more personal I'm going to get a little more personal, and I'm going to get a little more definitive. And quite frankly, you're not going to have any excuse to know what it is that you have to deal with and what it is that you're going to have to do about it. And so if you really don't want to know that, I suggest you just leave right now. That way you will not be held accountable, maybe. Hallelujah. Because I believe that there is something that God is doing in power with the Word of God. He's making it very clear. He's making it very simple. And He's making it as something that you and I have to make a decision about. Hallelujah. My personal position, and that is based upon what God has told me over the last 3 years, 4 years, maybe five, the words that He's been bringing to me, means that gives me the reality of time running out. Now, maybe you don't feel that way, but I have to look at it that time is running out for me. And there is something that I need to do in the time frame that I have left. And I don't believe that it's just something that is pertinent to me. 33 or 34 years ago, there was a man that walked into my living room. I was out in a rural community of California, Central California. And how he found me, I have no idea, except by the leading of the Lord. And he came into my house, and he laid hands on me, and he began to prophesy to me. This was about 33 years ago, maybe 34 now. And he began, and the word of God that he delivered to me, he said there was a job that God was going to give me that would be for the house of God in the end time. And that as I was to grow and mature in God, God would reveal it to me and he would give me a word and he would send me out. And I believe that I have coming into that time. When I first came here 25 years ago, 22 years ago, hallelujah, I did not know anything. I didn't know anything about this word because I was brand new in it. All I know is God had called me, He had elected me, and He had given me and has given me an opportunity to start getting involved with Him and with His Word. And over those many, many years and many, many experiences, as the revelation of God was unfolding, God began to bring to me an understanding. And then about, 2008. When was the last time I was here?
2011.
Huh? No, before that. That's when I came back. Huh? Was it 2009? I think it was a little before that, but nevertheless, we had been coming there consecutively for many years. About 17 or 18 years. Sometimes once a year, sometimes twice a year. And then there was a time that God took me off. He pulled me out. In fact, God said, I'm putting you in prison. And He said, I'm going to put you in prison for 5 years. And you know, it was almost 5 years to the day. And the circumstances that I was in were very demanding. They were very, very tribulating, and they were very, a time of very strict instructions in the environment that we were in, the experiences that was there. And he said, now, you are coming to the time of your, you are coming to the time, you came to me toward the latter part of that 5 years, and he said to me, you are coming to the end of your incarceration. Hallelujah. And then I was in a conference and I was sitting in the back row. And there was a man that I knew, a young man, well, he wasn't so young now, that came in, and he was very charismatic, very effervescent. And in the early days when I knew him, we had worked together, we had fellowship together, he was involved in this word. And somewhere along the line, he twisted. He veered off. Hallelujah. But the problem was, he had all of the knowledge. He had all of the unction of the knowledge. And his charismaticness and his charisma and all of that stuff made him very appealing. And he happened to come into one of our conferences. And as I sat down in the back of the room, and it's not my custom to do that mainly. I usually like to sit up in the front. Not that I want to be noticed, but I want to be sure I can hear and I can get the unction or the anointing that is coming. I don't like the back rows. Hallelujah. And this young man began to preach the word of what you would maybe suppose would be sonship. He used all the right terminologies. He had the knowledge of the revelation, the 144,000, the two witness company, the first fruits. And hitting all of the high spots, hitting all of the things that pertain to that revelation. Talking about being sons of God, the royal priesthood, and all of the things that were good to the ear and pleasant to hear, and which most anybody would maybe say in the aspect if they were teaching this message of sonship. But I begin to notice he was leaving out certain aspects of that calling and election. He was leaving out the need to overcome sin. He was leaving out the aspect of having to suffer. He was leaving out the aspects of death to self. He was telling you all of the good things, but he was not telling you all of the really good things. He was telling you of the position and the power and the glory, as well as the authority that you would have as one of these individuals. Hallelujah. Amen. But he wasn't telling you that many are called, few are chosen. And it's not that, now don't get me wrong, it is not that you are chosen on the aspect God says this one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that the rest of you are out. God doesn't work that way. The way God works is on the basis of your desire. On the basis of your want to. On the basis of how much you want it. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Now, we may really want it, but we may want something else also. And you cannot get the chosen without letting loose of the called. You understand what I'm saying? You ain't gonna be called. And you can be chosen. Hello? And there's some things that are lawful for you in the arena of being called. And it's not that they're not lawful for you in the chosen, but they are not expedient. They do not accomplish they will not accomplish the task. There are some things that you have and that I have that hinder me from getting what it is that God wants to give me. Because there's something of my character, there is something of my nature, that if I were to get it, that which is good becomes bad. And this is the principle that sin works off of. Brother Barak was talking earlier about principles. We have principles. Hallelujah. And there are principles in God. It says in Romans that the devil took that which was good, and that which was good, he used it to kill me. Isn't that what it says? Huh? Isn't that what it says? Come on, brethren, are you there? Huh? That sin might be exceedingly sinful. Hallelujah. Huh? Praise God. It's at the, it's somewhere toward the end of the chapter, I think. It's a principle. And the reason why he could do that is because there was something within my being, something in my being that will take that which is good and utilize it for something that is bad. Did you hear me? There is something programmed into me by the fall of Adam that is programmed to take what is good and use it to my own destruction. You know, my mother was a very wise woman. I didn't realize how wise she was until I got really very much older. She would often say to me, Bert, you are your own worst enemy. Hallelujah. And it's true. We are our own worst enemies. It's not the system in which the land in which we live or the government that we are under. It is what is in us by virtue of how and where it was we were born. We have to understand. Last night we were talking about darkness and how man became darkness. Romans, I believe it's the 5th chapter, says that by one man sin came into the world, and what? What's the rest of it? Huh? And so death passed. Hello? Huh? Passed. Sin came into the world. How did sin come into the world? Sin did not come into the world by the devil. We blame the devil for everything. Sin did not come into the world by the devil. Sin could not come into the world by the devil because the devil was not in charge of the world. The devil had not been commissioned to rule the world. The devil had not been given the power over the world.
Oh, yes.
There was only one entity that God created in the beginning had had the authority and the power to rule the world.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Right. Hallelujah.
And that entity was called Adam. And you might as well call him also Eve, because it says when he created them, he created them male and female.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it was very necessary for the devil to do what he did in order to get sin into the world. Because when God created the world, He created it pure.
Oh yes, hallelujah.
Did you hear me? When God created the world, He created it pure. Hallelujah. He said, when God looked at all that He done, He said it was very good. That means that there was no flaw. Come on. We seem to think in our thinking that there must have been a flaw in the plan somewhere along the line, but there was no flaw. Hallelujah. So God created something very good and gave the very goodness of the thing to Adam and to Eve. It was theirs to move and to walk in a corporate expression of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But when sin came into the world, it says, and death passed upon all men. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So anyone and everyone from that point in time was born with the totality and the potentiality of darkness. Hallelujah. Now, what I am wanting to do this morning is to identify that darkness so that you can relate to it. Hallelujah. If you would like to turn with me, you can turn with me to Genesis. Hallelujah. Because that's where it all started. But I want to go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Hallelujah. Abraham was a man that was... I want us to look at Abraham a minute. We have to understand something about Abraham when he wasn't Abraham, when he was Abram. Abraham was the son of a priest of Chaldea. Now, have you ever done any research on Chaldeans? Have you ever looked at their spiritual history? They believed in human sacrifice. They believed in sacrificial fornication. They believed in all of the things that we attribute to witchcraft and all of the things that go in that arena. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, none of you have an excuse to be ignorant. None of you have an excuse not to be able to hear God. God's choosing Abraham eliminates your excuse. I'll tell you something else that I believe. I think God went to the very darkest place, to the very darkest heart of the culture of witchcraft, and picked a man in the most impossible position and the impossible place, and began to manifest himself to him. So you can say, in some manner or another, by God's divine intervention. But I'll tell you something else that I believe is that God did not leave us without some aspect of hope.
Amen.
Romans, the 8th chapter, says that when God submitted creation to vanity, He submitted creation how? In hope. Now, brethren, We're talking about God. So we're not talking about an abstract thing or a thought. So when God said he submitted it in hope, it means something was in God. Hello? Something was in God that God took out of himself and imparted and implanted in man. And that something was a God consciousness. Come on.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Why do people worship idols? Why do people worship spirits? Because they are God conscious. Hallelujah. And if you want a scripture, I always get it turned around, so somebody probably will have to correct me. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord that what? Searches the inward parts of the belly."
Amen.
Huh? Hallelujah. Now that impartation, brethren, is an endowment. It's not something that man can hold on to eternally unless he does something about it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He first has to be cognizant of it. He then has to have the opportunity to make a decision about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you were saved by the fact of someone else witnessing to you? How many of you? How'd the rest of you get saved? How'd the rest of you get saved? Are you saved? You are. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When that somebody, or maybe you were, maybe I should be more specific, you're sitting in a congregation and somebody's preaching the Word of God, it's the same thing as somebody saying something to you about Jesus Christ, isn't it?
Amen.
Huh? It's a man telling you about God, and something begins to stir within your being. What is that something? Huh? Hallelujah. It's your God consciousness. Hallelujah. Your God consciousness says to you, you better listen. Isn't this something you've been thinking about? Isn't this something that I've been talking to you about? Now, you didn't know that God was talking to you. You were involved in your so-called fun, sliding into misery and desperation and frustration and futility, and this something was telling you, there has to be a way out of this. I have to find a release. I have to find some position of help. It is God. Hallelujah. It's an endowment that God gives to you to make you God conscious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the Bible tells us that that something, that endowment, that when a man dies, who has not received the blood of Jesus Christ, that endowment goes back to God. Hallelujah. So, now God is bringing us to another level of maturity, as he was bringing Abraham. The God consciousness in Abraham was looking for some explanation to the degradation of his environment. Hello? And in that condition, God came to him and began to talk to him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, we are just told the end of the story. We're not told of the facts that led up to the end of the story. You cannot tell me that God just went to Abraham and said, I'm God, I'm Jehovah, and you need to follow me. I think there was a progression, there was a development, there was a relationship that was going on between Abraham and God. Until it came to such a place that God says, now you are ready. Hello?
Amen.
And this is where you and I as a people are standing. This is where you and I as a people are now being confronted with. And you know, it's your personal decision. And I may never know what your decision is. But God will know, and so will you. Hallelujah. So, we find Abraham now coming to a level of maturity that God can now take him up to the next level of responsibility. And I want to tell you something. Every promotion in God for you or for me will cost you and I something.
Amen.
Sister Mavis used to say, salvation is free, but after that, you pay for everything else. Hallelujah. There is a gospel, and it is in the Holy Place Church that thinks that everything is free. And that it is accomplished by knowledge. That isn't true. And this young man, as he was sitting there, sitting in the back of that congregation, and he began to preach the word of God. The word, it wasn't necessarily God. The word of sonship, let me say that. Intellectual sonship. I saw a congregation of seasonal saints who had been sitting under this word for many, many years. And I saw their heads going like this. And I'm hearing, amen, amen, praise the Lord, preach it, brother. An occasional, come on, come on. Hallelujah. And it frightened me. It frightened me. And I said to God, I said, my God, what is happening? What is happening? And the Lord said to me, he says, my people do not know me. Hallelujah. This was in 2009. Hallelujah. You know, there were many things that were said. When Brother Duciel passed, there were many things that were said about it that were inappropriate and not true. Brother Duciel had accomplished and had done basically what the Lord had really called him to do. And now the responsibility of getting it done was coming upon us as a people. Not us as a people who have pastors. We call them elders. But us as a people, as a body that has should have had the understanding of that we are in need of being attached to the head. We cannot be attached to each other unless we're attached to the head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want you to turn with me. And you know, that's when God sent me out. I was very involved in my situation. We were very seemingly tied up. Incarcerated. And there were so many circumstances that were contrary to my getting up and just going. But when God said for me to get up and go, my wife and I decided that I needed to obey God. Hallelujah. And there was a peculiar ministry that God had me in, because one of the other things that God had told me in that conference back there, after he had told me what I just told you, he told me, he said, "My people have my coming upside down." Did you hear me? They have my coming upside down. He said there are certain things that have to happen prior to my coming. And one of the things that have to happen is the ministry or the word of John's coming. There was a prelude of that went out before Jesus Christ, and that was the ministry of John the Baptist that was calling the people of God to a place of repentance, consecration, and dedication. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have gone through that phase, brethren. We have gone through that phase. The Word of God has been coming over and over and over again, pinpointing, highlighting all the things that are out of order, out of due order with God. And one of the things that, one of the words that God brought in this conference or this time of fellowship in the very beginning, and it wasn't me who had the words up there on the screen, was the aspect of due order. Due order. Due order is personal, individual relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You cannot have a personal, viable, livable, walking, talking relationship with Jesus Christ unless you are in a continual state of repentance.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Repentance is not a one-time thing. Repentance is a lifestyle. Because you see, the closer I get to Jesus, the more I see wrong with myself, and the more I have to repent of that malady. The more I have to be delivered, the more I have to be sanctified, the more I have to be consecrated, the more I have to be dedicated. You know, when in some places, when they have electrical equipment of a certain type, they have to put in what they call dedicated circuits. Hello? Are you there? That's a line that goes all the way back to the box. Hello? Comes down and it comes to a plug and is made and designed for one piece of equipment. That's what dedication is. Hallelujah. And that is how I am supposed to be dedicated to God. Hallelujah. You want scripture? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart,
mind,
soul, strength. some.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think we all can repent on each individual section.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, you think God is going to give you something that is of God if you are not following the procedure that is required in order for you to receive it. Do I have any farmers in here? Do I have any gardeners in here? Anybody have a garden? Oh, I got one. Two. Oh, my. All of you should practice farming. Go see the man. No, okay, brother, you correct me. You want to plant something, you just go out there and throw it on the ground, right? Oh, you clean it up. What else do you do with it? Yeah? It requires a lot of work, doesn't it? You know, when I was farming, I spent more time pulling weeds than anything. Huh? In fact, one time I had this really long row of beans. You know, weeds grow so much better than vegetables. Hallelujah. And I think I spent more time down on my knees praying and pulling weeds than most pastors or elders spend praying for their congregation. You want to know what an elder's work is, brethren? It's not saying you do this, you do that, and you do that, 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 that. Your obligation is the closet. It's the closet. It's the closet. Hallelujah. And not a closet with your name on it. Elder so-and-so. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Huh? Somebody handed me a card in Ethiopian and it said, Dr. Reverend Pastor so-and-so. Hallelujah. If you have that mentality, you're not chosen. But let me put it this way. If you keep that mentality, you will not be chosen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is not looking at you as babies. God is not looking at you as children. Hallelujah. God is not looking at you as someone who is out there in the church system. God is looking at you different. Hallelujah. Because as with Abram, God has invested something in you that has not been invested in somebody else. Hallelujah. So let us go. That was all just prelude. Genesis chapter 12. Now, it is interesting that 12 is the number of government. God's government. When you take 12 times 12, you get 144,000, which is the total perfection and the fullness of God's government. But God is giving you the basics. God is giving you the basics of His government. This is where the government of God begins. Hallelujah. And the government of God begins individually. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. Oh my goodness. Brethren, how many of you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Oh, some of you do. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that the Bible is a living word? Are the rest of you just afraid to raise your hands, or what is it? Are you don't want to raise your hands because I'm asking you to raise your hands? I never can't figure that out. Praise God. How many of you believe that God is an eternal God, that He is a spirit? Do you believe that? So, whatever God says, whatever God does, whatever is recorded about God has a spiritual significance. And it is important, vital, very critical to the now situation. Isn't that right? You have to believe that if you believe what you just said you believe. So what God is talking to Abram here in this portion of scripture is not just something that was spoken to Abraham and being as it was recorded. Hello? Hallelujah. Because you see, don't you find it interesting that God picks up Abraham right here? We don't know the rest of the history behind him, but he picks it up right here. Hallelujah. And it's significant to you and I as a people of God. So he says, get thee out from thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. Let us look at what the spiritual significance is to you and I. Brother Mark, no, I always get my time frame messed up. The Lord gave Brother Mark a word 2 years ago. 3 years ago, about three or four years ago, Brother Mark got a word. And the word came from a dream that the Lord gave to his wife, Sister Rita. And it was a very short and simple dream. By the way, this is one of those things that I can add to my pile of evidence of the fact of the time frame that we are living in and how close we are to the coming of Jesus Christ. In this dream, now Brother Mark has a website, and it's called Living Bread. In time kingdom of God. Yours is Living Bread, isn't it? Hallelujah. Has a website that is called the In Time Kingdom of God, and I'm sure that he probably has the tape on there. I suggest you go there, you listen to the tape. Hallelujah. You know, that's kind of another one of my little pet things, my pet peeves. We have so much information. We have so much Word of God. And it's not being utilized. It's not being taken advantage of. You're not going to always have the internet, you know. You're not. It's called control. Hallelujah. And in this dream, Sister Rita, it was very simple. There were two houses. And the houses on the outside seemed to be identical. But she knew that one of the houses was an old house. Or the old house. And the other house was the new house. And it was determined that you had to decide. Oh no, I'm getting ahead of it. In the middle of the house, middle of the houses, between the two houses, was this big bulldozer. You know what a bulldozer is? It's a big tractor with a big blade on the front of it. Very powerful. Got the big steel tracks. Hallelujah. And you had to choose which house you were going to be in. And whatever house you choose, the other one was going to be destroyed. So you would have no way to get out of the whole house into the new house, or the new house back into the old house. It was going to be destroyed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What I'm sharing is very serious. Very serious, very critical. And what you determine about it is going to determine where you end up at the end of the day. It is. Hallelujah. So we have an old house and we have a new house. So down the road a ways, I had been praying about it. I had listened to the tape maybe about 8 or 9 times. You know, if I got a house and I want to, God says He's going to destroy one of them, I want to know which house I'm going to be in, so I don't want to get that. I want to be in the right place. So I'm saying to God, which is the old house? I need to know. How to identify the old house? Where is the old house? And so one day God began to speak to me, and He brought me here to this chapter of Genesis chapter 12. Hallelujah. So we have an old house. I'm going to draw the old house first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, get thee out of thy country. So old house is nationality. I almost blew it. I am an American. I'm just using me. I don't want to make you feel bad. I have an American heritage. I have an American inheritance. I am free born. Huh? Isn't that right? Home of the brave. Land of the free. Huh? Hello? Okay. Wait, you guys are just looking at me. Huh? Hallelujah. I am freeborn. I am an individual. I am an individual person. I have individual rights. I have certain inalienable rights as an American. These aren't words. These are polities.
That's right. Amen.
Hello? Are you there? Huh? I teach my children how to be good citizens. Hallelujah. Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. I live in a land that was born in rebellion. Hello? I have, and because of all of this, I have my national pride. Hello, come on. Huh? Hallelujah. Well, if this is the house that is, if this is the house, what is my other house? What is my other choice? Huh? What is my other choice? Huh? When I am born again, hallelujah, I become a child of the kingdom of what? Really? How many of you are born again? Which house do you belong to? This is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Okay, that's one house, but there is a house within the house. He says, get thee out from thy kindred. Huh? Kindred. Out from the house of thy kindred. I could just as well write here, tribe. Huh? Hallelujah. You know, there is a scripture. See if you could find it for me, would you please? It's called the household of faith. Hallelujah. What is our relationship with regards to our being born again? What is your affiliation? Hallelujah. Huh? We are supposed to be of the tribe. Huh? Of Judah. Hello? Now, the kingdom of God has certain attributes that you could go into. And those attributes are the attributes that were given or demonstrated by Jesus Christ, who was the Son of the King. Huh? Hallelujah. Meekness, lowliness, servant's mentality, though a son. Hello? Hallelujah. But along with the tribe of Judah, it is also the household of faith. What is that? Galatians 6:10. Huh? Galatians 6:10. Which says what? Is it there? No, I need it here. Galatians 6:10. We have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially, could you click on that word especially? Does it have a concordance on it? Huh? Well, all right. Especially them of the household of faith. Hallelujah. So, your position of relatives... Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, which of these tribes are you affiliated with? Which of those houses is the predominant overshadowing aspect of your soul? Well, we want it to be the household of faith, but that isn't the case. Hallelujah. We want it to be the household of faith, but that isn't the case. Hallelujah. In the greatest degree, are particularly, chiefly, most of all. That's not my definition, that's his. That's Mr. Strong. Hallelujah. Mr. Strong had a revelation. I don't know if he was walking in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many times does this interfere with this? We have the ability to be productive people, in the aspect of business. Oh yes, you guys are very, very business orientated. You always have some sort of business scheme burning on the back burner. Huh? Come on. I've been with you guys a long time. Huh? I've been with you a long time. I know. Business is, you're always scheming to make something of something. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, how about the business of the kingdom? Hello? Now, if you choose to do this business over that business, what are you choosing? If you allow this arena of house to interfere with this house, which house are you choosing? Old house. Old house is going to be destroyed, Brother Isaac. Hallelujah. How many times do we allow the household of faith to suffer because we are taking care of the household of our position or tribal importance? Huh? You guys are very family oriented. I don't know that you always get along with each other well. But you're very family oriented. You. In fact, you're so family oriented, you have ancestral worship. Huh? Hallelujah. And you know, ancestral worship comes in many different fashions, in many different forms. I can look like my father, but I do not have to act like him. Did you hear me? I can look in the mirror and see my dad. And when I see my dad, I know I have to repent. I have to repent for being like my dad. Not that I don't love my dad. My dad was a very, very hard man, but he was very, very, at the end of his life, was very forgiving and very loving. And there was a reconciliation that I had with him. Hello? But I don't want to look like him.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want to act like him. I don't want my children to look like me. Unfortunately, some of them do. I can't do anything about their looks, but I can certainly encourage them not to act like me.
Yes, amen.
Huh? Unless it's, of course, it is me following Christ, then let them know what Christ is that they can follow Christ. And I certainly don't want my grandchildren to look like me. In the spiritual sense. That is unregenerated. I don't want them to be like me. I don't want them to act like me. I have a different inheritance. I have a different inheritance than this. You hear me?
Yes.
I have a different inheritance. My inheritance isn't really my inheritance, it's his inheritance. That's what the Bible says, you know. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what? The hope of the inheritance that of his. Hello? Oh, you thought you were going to get a throne, and you thought you were going to get this place of jurisdiction and authority and rule over some of God's kingdom. No, 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 no. We are his inheritance. Do you know what that means? That God has an investment and he has a storehouse of souls. And that storehouse is the inheritance of Jesus Christ. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So it is not in the aspect of physical things, it's in the aspect of soul. Purified, glorified, holy, consecrated soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have yet one more position, one more place. And it is, as soon as I get back there, it is, and from thy father's house. Hallelujah. One more house. One more house. Here. This is like a jigsaw puzzle. Father's house. Hallelujah. Father's house. Father's house. Do you remember the scripture? Jesus was ministering to a multitude of people. And there was somebody, they came to him and said, Jesus, your mother, your brother, and your sister are outside the house there. Huh? What did Jesus say? These are my mothers, my fathers, and my brothers. He was very specific about it. Huh? Hallelujah. Of course, that was just metaphorical, right? That was just something that he said to make it sound spiritual. So, tell me, who is your real brother?
It's Matthew 12:49-50.
Huh? Who is your real brother? Who's your real sister? I put it this way. If there was a crisis between a spiritual brother and a natural brother, and you could only help one of them out of the situation, and the consequences of not helping the other one was very detrimental, who would you help? There's no doubt about it, natural brother. Which house did you choose? Okay, who are your spiritual children? Who are your children? Now, I'm not telling you a man that does not, let me go this way. A man who does not take care of the needs of his family. So you have to take care of the needs of your family. But if the needs of your family interfere with the business of God, it's not the right choice. And your choosing God will never bring your family into one place of neglect.
Yes, amen.
It may not do for them what you would want to have done, but what it will do for them is bring them into a greater spiritual reality of God. And we teach our children how to be children of God and not children of Asbel. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, I would suggest there are many different saints of God that have gone on before us. C.T. Studd, Reese Howells, the man who went, Hudson Taylor. These men who gave up everything. David Livingston, who was very predominant here in different parts of Africa, who gave up everything, family, children, and it wasn't like they cast them aside, and their children turned out to be superior children, who had a burden and who had a position or a place in the church history. Have you ever heard of a man called Wormbrand?
Yes.
Richard Wormbrand?
Yes. Yes.
You know, I had the privilege of meeting him one day. And when the communists came in too, he was a Lutheran pastor, by the way. But he had a reality of a living God.
Amen.
Didn't have our revelation. And when I saw him, he was still wearing the backward collar. He was somewhere in his 80s or 90s. They had to sit him in a chair for him to minister because the way they had beat him on the bottoms of his feet with a rubber hose, he could not stand for long periods of time. But I want to tell you the presence, the aura of God that came out of the man was something that you could physically feel. Hallelujah. When the Nazis came into Romania, now let me tell you, I went to Romania just after the curtain fell, and I have never walked into a country that was so dark and oppressive. Romania was a Nazi laboratory where they invented and tried out different forms of torture and mental and physical abuse. It was a laboratory. Hallelujah. And it was into this prison that they stuck Wormbrand because he would not deny Christ. And that, no, it was the communists. It wasn't the Nazis. It was the communists who took over from the Nazis. So they stuck him in prison. He had two little babies. Maybe one of them would be about the size of that child back there sitting there, maybe one of them about the size of this girl right here. I don't know what her age is. Maybe a little smaller. And he would not recant. He would not abdicate his position of reality of God. The man spent 14 years in prison. Hallelujah. And most of it in solitary confinement. And then finally they moved him to what they call the death cell. Anybody that went in that cell never came out of there alive. And you can't even imagine the conditions of it. He said that while in that cell, he got to minister to every man that judged him, that incarcerated him, and who had tortured him. And he was the one man that came out of that cell. Hallelujah. But while he was in prison, his wife was carrying on the work of the evangelism and helping to minister to the people. So they came and arrested her. And they stuck her in prison, left the babies to wander the street. But you know, those babies grew up to be spiritual, dedicated, loving children, young people, who eventually took over the work that they started, which was called Voice of the Martyrs. It was a magazine that they were sending out all over the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God, you know, people, we have to have a reality of the reality of the reality that God is really real.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You guys invest thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in the education of your children. And I am not against education, believe you me. I think it's necessary to be educated. But I don't know that education is so paramount, except that God says, do this, do this, do this, do this. I am of the opinion, and I am of the persuasion, that there are, I'm of the persuasion, I didn't say I'm of the perfection of it. God is still working on that. I am of the persuasion that I have to come to the place that I cannot do anything of my own.
Amen.
I have to choose which house I want to belong in.
Hallelujah.
Do you hear me? I have to choose which house I belong in every facet of my life. Because I am not satisfied with being somewhat perfect. Did you hear me? I am not satisfied with being somewhat perfect. I want to be perfect.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because I believe that perfection is something that is a scriptural gift that God is giving to me as an individual who is born again and baptized in the Spirit of God. Perfection is something that God is saying it's yours to possess if you're willing to take it. Hallelujah. But if I take it, that's going to cost me something in every arena of my life. Hallelujah. Every arena is not, it is going to be taken. It's going to be taken. And it is not one of those things you lay something on the altar and say, well, maybe God will let the fire on, but he'll give it back to me. The altar of incense, the golden altar was an altar of incense. That means the incense that was put upon the altar was burned completely. It was totally consumed. There was nothing of that granulated form of incense that was left. The only thing that you could smell, the only thing that you could have was the reminiscence of the smell. Hello? And it was that smell that was a sweet savor. Hallelujah. You know, we have been playing church. We have been playing church. Hallelujah. Now you just don't go out of here and you start making all kinds of adjustments and doing all kinds of radical things. You go out of here, you go into your closet, go into fasting, go into prayer. It's a fasting and prayer situation, brother.
Yes, amen.
This is not just a happen chance. This is not just another meeting. This is just not another time that you have an opportunity to gather together. God is bringing you a specific word. And I don't know, you may or I may never get the other opportunity to do what it needs to be done. This may be the last opportunity. I'm not so presumptuous to think that if I walk out that door, I'll have the liberty to walk back in. Or I have the capability. I could walk out in the middle of the street and get hit by a car. Hello? Hallelujah. And we have taken it for granted. We have taken the word for granted. We have taken God for granted. We have taken the grace that God has poured out upon us for granted. We need to repent. We need to get down in our closets and fasting and pray. And don't come out of the closet until you touch his garment.
Oh, yes.
When you touch his garment, virtue will flow.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you will have the strength to make the right decisions. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? You cannot make the right decision if you do not have the strength to make it. Or you can say, I'll do it, but you won't do it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul said it. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? He comes down to the last verse and says, I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Lord means you're in subjection to something. You're in subjection to an authority that is above every authority and has over any and every demand that is being made upon you. We just don't have that position of relationship with God to believe it. Hallelujah. 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 You know, this goes into so many areas. You can go into so many different areas concerning the house that we are in. God comes along and he begins to prosper you. You know, you were all poor as dirt. You were poor. Poor, 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 poor. Hallelujah. God has prospered you, blessed you. He has given you finances and security, and he's bringing all kinds of commodities and things into your life to make it more comfortable. And it has anesthetized you. We need to shake ourselves from the dust of our humanity. Hallelujah. Brethren, I don't have a problem with people who want to do this and want to do this and want to do. I don't have a problem with it. They can do it. But if you're called, you're elected, you have to have a word from God that says to do it. You can't do it unless God says do it. Didn't we sing a song the other night? I am bought with a price. Didn't we sing that?
He paid a price.
He paid a price I did not owe. I owed a price I could not pay. I needed what? Someone to wash my sins away. Is that the only reason why we've got God, is to wash our sins away and then we're clean and fine and we can go out and have fun? Hallelujah. Come on. This is serious business. God is not playing church anymore. God has come to the point, he's saying enough is enough. You can do what you want to do, but you have to make a choice. And the choice is yours to make. God bless you.